Turn to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, reading 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowd to sit on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000, men besides women and children.
Good morning. You wouldn't tell by the reading that John did. We are continuing, though, in our series about looking at the Beatitudes. And just a reminder, Beatitudes are basically a how-to guide. It's characteristics of the people that are found in the kingdom of God. And we'll be looking at these individual statements, including the one we're looking at today, to see how we should apply it to our lives and how we should be employing that when we meet with each other and others in the world. Now, today is actually going to be found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Now, to get a feel for what we're going to talk about, I think we need to understand the word mercy. And we have things in sports called the mercy rule, where if one team gets up over the other team by too many, it's usually in younger levels of sports. But if it's a baseball game and by the fifth inning it's 22-2, well, they're probably going to stop that. The other team shows mercy on the team that's losing by not continuing to pour it on. And so really, if you look at it, it's the way to show compassion or pity or to show favor towards someone who's suffering or someone who is needing something. And there's several examples that we find through the New Testament of this, a lot in the book of Matthew. But we get a good feel for this word when we read the parable of the Good Samaritan that is found in Luke chapter 10. And for sake of time, we will not read that this morning. We're all very familiar with that passage, I'm sure. And there was a man who fell prey to some evil people, some robbers, and they not only stole from him, but they beat him up very severely to the point where he was not able to get up and resume his travels. And I remember a priest and a Levite, people that should have been able to come to this person's aid and deal with his injuries, they not only didn't help him, but they went out of their way to avoid an interaction with him. But then a lowly Samaritan did help him. And so Jesus then asks, after telling the story, which of these three showed mercy to this man, who proved to be a neighbor to this man that had fallen prey to these robbers? And the answer, of course, was the one who showed mercy. And so here we see that mercy is seeing something that needs to be done and not avoiding it, but showing the proper compassion and the mercy that is needed. And so mercy is not just a feeling. It's not some detached emotion. Mercy requires an action. It requires you being aware of something that needs to be done and then acting upon it. And Another way that people say that mercy is given is that, well, it's given to people who don't, that didn't do anything to deserve it. They put themselves in a bad situation, but I'm still going to show mercy to them. I'm still going to help them out. And while that is in some way a true statement, really we're going to see that based upon what we find in the New Testament especially, that that's not a complete description of what mercy is. And so it's not just merely refusing to bring judgment on somebody that deserves it. It's really compassion that's expressed by genuinely helping someone and genuinely wanting to help someone. And it's basically a selfless act instead of a selfish act. You're helping someone else out that needs it. And so the people that are found in God's kingdom are those who are merciful, people that give and provide mercy to others. And so that is what we should be looking at in this passage. And later in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus will call mercy, along with justice and faithfulness, one of the weightier matters of the law. And so that should show us that is a level of importance that Jesus gives mercy. And so it should have our full attention. That this should be something that we should be examining ourselves and realizing that it does need a place in our lives. And looking through here, I don't see many people that I know have a history of not helping others or being mean. So it's probably not a shortcoming of many of us here, but I think as we go through this morning, we'll see areas that maybe we still can add to our character in this matter. Looking at the first century, I don't think anybody would say that mercy was a natural characteristic found among people living in the Roman Empire, especially. I don't think anyone would associate the Roman armies and the Roman government with mercy. And the same is true of us today. Our culture is not one that it's not the default setting to have mercy for others. And so I didn't find the person's name, but I did see there was a Roman philosopher who called mercy the disease of the soul. So that should tell us what the Roman attitude towards mercy was, that this was a shortcoming. Mercy was actually a characteristic that was not wanted. And we see in the Jewish culture also, later in this same sermon in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus states that they were familiar with a statement that says you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, the enemy is who deserves mercy, that we should be extending mercy to. So that was something that they weren't living upon and acting upon. And so we see in those cultures and our culture today that mercy, if it was given at all, was reserved for those who had been maybe merciful to you or that you were related to or a good friend with. Mercy was displayed in very certain limited circumstances. And so I don't think as we look in our world today that that's too far from what we can see is going on with us today. Our culture says, if you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. Well, that's because mercy isn't taught, or not. You don't go to school and have, today's kids, we're going to learn about mercy. But I mean, it's just not something that throughout our society is valued or favored. And so people are treated the way that, you know, that would provide power to someone else, or something that maybe we could make some money off this person. They're looked at as an object, as prey in many cases, and that is totally opposite of the approach that we should have with mercy. And so we see Jesus himself showing mercy on several occasions. He looked on people and was moved with pity and compassion. In the passage that John read about the feeding of the 5,000, right before that, at the beginning of that event, we're told earlier in that passage that Jesus had just learned about the death of John the Baptist. And he removed himself from the people, said he went out on a boat and went far away because of the news that he was grieving over, that John had died. But that they said that he eventually came ashore, and the people realized he was there, and they rushed him, and they went to him. And while it doesn't say this in regard to the feeding of the 5,000, it says that when he looked upon this group of people, he had compassion upon them, and he healed their sick. And then immediately it goes into later that evening, they realized they were in a pretty far out removed place. And his disciples said, listen, we need to tell these people they need to have better sense than being out here and be hungry, and that they need to go and take care of their needs. And like I said, while compassion isn't necessarily related to this, I can't believe that compassion didn't play a part in Jesus' decision to provide for them. He was showing compassion and love towards those people, and he saw a legitimate concern, a legitimate need that these people had, being hungry and being far removed from a food source for a group that large. And so he acted upon that. But when you look at how the so-called religious leaders of that day probably would have responded, they probably would have set up, you know, food vendors or something that was providing food at a price, and that is so different from that. And we can see how they treated others in the way that they badgered Jesus, constantly coming to him with questions, trying to trip him up, trying to test him, not from a standpoint that we do see some people legitimately come to him with questions. And in the case of the rich young ruler, he didn't like the response, but I feel that he came with a genuinely wanting an answer to his question. But that's not how the Jewish leaders were coming to him. They were looking for ways to show that he was a hypocrite, that he was not who he was saying was. And when they didn't get their way, they didn't just say, oh, well, he must be who he says he is. No, as of course, as we know, they looked for opportunities to kill him. And their hatred grew to the point where they were successful. And he was hung and nailed onto a cross. And yet, while he was hanging on that very cross that those leaders had put him upon, in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we're told, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Notice in this we see a distinction between mercy and forgiveness. The mercy of our Lord is the basis of his desire to forgive us. It goes hand in hand. You don't forgive someone unless you have mercy upon them as well. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 reads, But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so mercy was the basis for this forgiveness that is extended to us that we find here in Titus chapter 3. So God's forgiveness of our sins flow from this abundance of mercy that he has. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6 reads, But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in I apologize for that. I didn't have my copy and paste cleared out. I do not have that passage, but in that Ephesian passage, Paul is making the same distinction that between mercy and forgiveness. He tells us that God is rich in mercy and has great love for us. And it's because of that that he saved us by grace and made us alive together through his son, Jesus. And so while Jesus is on the cross, we see the mercy that he extends and sees it as an opportunity for forgiveness. And so because of this, we have to be merciful because it's the very character of God and it's something that we should incorporate into our life. Jesus declared in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The mercy of God should be foremost in our mind, on the front of our mind. It should be something that we are looking to receive and to give. And it should be something that we focus on when we are, later, as we do later this morning, when we focus on the Lord's Supper. it should remind us that we all have experienced the mercy that God provides to us through this act. And so God's mercy, being the basis of our forgiveness, as we talked about, should teach us something very valuable. That when we interact with each other, and probably more importantly, when we are interacting with others in the world with whom we don't know, and we don't know on the level that we know each other, that we have to say, if I'm not being merciful and I'm not forgiving, then I'm not in the kingdom of heaven. Because we're told here in Matthew chapter 5 that that is what is found in those in the kingdom. So when we are interacting with others, whether they're being rude to us, attacking us, we can't say, oh, well, I'm just going to walk, you know, let them be in the right. We still have to be merciful to them when given that opportunity. And that is the challenge of mercy. I've mentioned earlier, societies are not built on the foundation of mercy. It's something you have to work at. And it's very challenging in that regard to develop in our own characters. And so mercy can be perceived as making yourself vulnerable. We give of ourselves to those who need us, or we give of ourselves to those that have been mean to us, and we should be doing it in a way that we're not looking for anything back in return. And so compassion and pity generally are not attitudes that people praise in this world. From time to time, you'll hear about someone who did some great act, and you'll see a little two-minute segment about them on the news. But it is a part of the character of God, and so we are called upon to show that part of the Lord in our lives when we interact with the world. Mercy is not earned, just like grace is not something that's earned. Mercy is no longer mercy if it's deserved. You only show mercy if they're paying you, or you know, in some way you're getting something back in return. It's something that we are doing that's undeserved to that person. So we're not to show mercy to those friends, family, co-workers with whom we have good relationships. Yes, we should extend mercy to them, but that should not be the entire group of people to whom we are merciful. But mercy does not mean that sin is ignored. It recognizes the reality of sin, and it has the ability to recognize that there has been sin or wrongdoing that's taken place. But Jesus didn't show mercy by pretending that people weren't sinning. He showed mercy by not convicting the people of their sins, and he was being merciful by identifying sins and then showing them a way to escape those sins, that forgiveness was available. And so Jesus taught a couple times in the Gospel of Matthew, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so God wants people to have a heart like his and for it to be extended to others. And so that should be a test to know if we really are merciful, is that we are able to provide that mercy to others that we have no other reason to provide it other than that's just who we are. We have to seek and act upon opportunities to be merciful. And so the sinners, Luke 18, verse 13, the story of the publican who says, you know, look how great I am. I'm not like this tax collector. And the tax collector simply says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so our passage this morning tells us that God only shows mercy to those who are merciful. It's a two-way street. You can't expect to get mercy from the Lord and then not turn around and show that characteristic to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And so we find in James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so that should be terrifying words to understand, that if we are not showing mercy, then we have that mercy will not be returned to us. Judgment will be without mercy to the one who has not shown it. And so we find a common attitude in this world that people get what they deserve. But is that what we want to have happen to us? We shouldn't be wanting that to be shown to us, that we don't get what we deserve. And so we need to be able to not have that happen to us by not providing what people deserve, but then treat them with mercy. And so we've all made many, many mistakes in our lives, and there are things that we would be eligible for getting what we deserve, but we can be merciful to others and knowing that that will not be repaid back to us. And so you can't have the attitude, well, they've put themselves in a situation, they're going to have to dig their way out. That's not an attitude that we should have. We should be looking to be able to help them. It's like when Jesus asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? He's told 70 times by, 70 by 7. That should be the attitude here. Yes, people put themselves in bad situations, but we don't have a limit on the times we can show mercy. And so mercy towards others begins in our lives by just being aware that mercy needs to be extended, and we have to step up and do that. Mercy is not prompted by different qualities of the offender. Well, this person's otherwise a nice person, I'll extend mercy. We have to extend it to those that we don't see good qualities in, and so forth. Because though we were still sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. And so, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We need this in our lives. We need mercy, or we would be in very dire straits. And so we have to let God's mercy transform our hearts and transform our lives and allow us to see and be merciful to other people. Brother Rose was down for the prayer. I'm not seeing him here. So Brother Jim, would you just lead us in a closing prayer, and then we'll go to our class.